Welcome to Popular Cultural Sharing. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. Welcome back, everyone, to Popular Cultural Cherry. This week, we have with us Megumi. Megumi is Japanese, but grew up in the U.S. And a couple of years ago, she made the move to Milan in Italy. So she spends most of her time between Milan and also in a small town in Croatia. Megumi will share with us the reasons why she left Los Angeles and Hawaii and traded that part of the world for Milan and Croatia. Megumi also has her own brand of sunglasses, so in a sense, she's also an entrepreneur, and actually also hosts her own TV show in the US. It's kind of like a vlog that's part of an app called Foodie TV. All right, so welcome everyone back to Popular Cultural Cherry. Today we have Megumi with us. Megumi, I actually saw her post on Instagram. I found it quite interesting because you see a person who's Japanese-American who's based in Italy, also in Croatia, and I saw some of her posts about, you know, her lifestyle. And now she's with us today. Megumi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
It's really cool that, you know, coming from the U.S. but also having like this Japanese heritage and being based in Europe kind of is mixing all the right places in one.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can share with us something about your life in the U.S. and what actually drew you to coming to Europe.
Well, what brought me to Europe, I had visited Europe before, ages ago, eons ago, when before the Euro. I'm 47. I'll be 48 in August. And when I was in my 20s, when I was a starving actress slash hostess, I had saved up like 10 grand to get liposuction. And then I found out that I'm not a good candidate for liposuction because I keloid. There are these puffy scars that a lot of Asian people and ethnic people get. And the plastic surgeon was like, no, if you're not exercising and dieting, just do that first because you're not that fat. And I was like, okay. So I had the money. So I decided to go to Europe. So I went to Europe by myself back in the day before cell phones. I mean, there were cell phones, but it was so expensive to do international before smartphones. I'm talking like the original Nokia that fits in your hand that feels like a phone, right? So anyway, in my 20s, I couldn't afford to use a cell phone. I couldn't afford much, but I did, you know, a whole trip that I had planned from London to Paris to the south of France to Florence and Venice to Greece. And it was so interesting and I really liked it. And I always wanted to come back to Europe. And in 2016, February, I came to Milan to go to Mido, which is an eye exposition, an eyewear and also contacts. I have everything about the eyes exposition and Optico Expo. For my brand, Megumi O. Megumi O. To Asian people, I would say Asian fit Jackie O sunglasses that are polarized. If you're not Asian, this is something maybe some Asian people even know. The politically correct term is universal fit sunglasses, which is such a joke, right? Because Asian people have a flatter nose and Japanese people have a really narrow bridge. So I came to Milan to go to this optical expo. And then I just loved it. And then I came back the same year during Fashion Week. And I loved it. Just had a blast. Met so many people. And then when I went back to the U.S., I was so depressed about not being in Italy. I had moved my mother, who has dementia, at this point Alzheimer's, because at that point it was 2016. I moved my mom from Hawaii to L.A. when I figured out that her dementia, Alzheimer's had gotten out of control for her to live on her own. And so I thought that I was, you know, stuck in LA forever because I had sold my mother's condo, sold her car, sold everything and moved her to LA to be with me. But when my mother figured out that I was depressed, she said, and I told her, I burst out crying and I said, well, I wanted to go to Europe, but you know, I moved you here. And she said, oh, well, you know, I'm just waiting to die and you have the rest of your life to live. So I'll just go with you. That's what brought me to Milan to permanently move. And we're saving so much money because healthcare is so expensive in the US. And Hawaii is even more expensive than LA. And while Milan is the most expensive city in Italy, it's not expensive compared to Hawaii or LA or America in terms of healthcare. So that was a huge motivation to not have to worry about spending, you know, my mother's small fortune. You know, a little accident or a little trip to the hospital could make you bankrupt in the US, which has nearly happened to me when I was 28 with a kidney infection. So
I hear a lot of these like horror stories about healthcare, but let's go to that a bit later. I'm curious about knowing, you know, you said you came to Milan, you fell in love with the place, but at the same time, you know, I have not been to Hawaii, although I've been to LA, I've not been to Hawaii, but I hear also a lot of positive things about these places. And I've seen in LA, you know, the social life, like you have a lot of restaurants, you have a lot of nightlife. I'm just kind of wondering what was going through your head, like what actually made Milan stand out?
First of all, Hawaii is, I didn't like growing up in Hawaii. It was really boring. And it's an island. I'm not a confident driver other than in the city in LA, I'm a confident driver. On the freeway, I'm not a confident driver. But when you grow up on an island where before traffic, I'm talking in the 1980s, before traffic, you can drive around the island of Oahu, the circumference of it, in like 2 hours. You know, so you hop on a plane for 15 minutes to go to the closest island, 45 minutes to go to the furthest island. And so you can't go anywhere. We would go to Japan maybe every other year. And that was 6.5 hours to get there and maybe 5.5 hours to fly back. And then it's still like 5 hours, 5.5 hours to get to LA. So when you're in Hawaii, you're just stuck, you know, on an island. Right?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah. And LA was amazing for 20 years. It was amazing. But the cost of living had gotten so expensive, not just for me, but for everybody, so that the homeless situation was just insane. There was 1 month where I thought I couldn't pay rent and I had to Airbnb my living room. And then after I got my dog, I couldn't, you know, the homeless situation had gotten so bad that you just couldn't walk several yards away from your apartment. There were just pockets of good neighborhoods, but then there would just be like a homeless encampment on the sidewalk. So you can't go anywhere. So LA is good if you're very, very rich and you live in, you know, prime real estate, but even prime real estate like Venice Beach became a homeless encampment. You're spending half of your life in a car. The Mercedes commercial is because in Southern California, you have to love what you drive. So that's because you spent half your life in your car,
okay.
Right?
Yeah,
so then
yeah.
In Milan, Milan is all about public transportation.
Right.
It's very increasingly anti-car because of the smog problem. But the infrastructure, the metro, the tram, I don't really take the buses, you know, but the tram and the metro is incredible. And it's pretty much the center of Europe when it comes to flying through the rest of Europe. So that's what drew me to Milan, besides the beauty of it and the fun of it, was before COVID, my favorite thing about Milan was the metro. That if you live in the center of the city, you could by metro, by tram, by foot, because I'm really in the center, be anywhere door to door in 16 minutes.
Yeah, I've not been to Milan yet, but obviously like LA is like the complete opposite. I didn't take public transport there, but they said it just basically does not really exist. And you're right, like traffic is so bad. Like I come from the Philippines, but obviously traffic in Manila is a lot worse, but traffic in LA is kind of comparable, at least during rush hour. It like takes you, I don't know, a couple of hours to get outside of the city. Yeah, I can imagine like how happy you'd been to like kind of move to Milan and in Europe in general, like, I mean, there are countries with worse public infrastructure, there are countries with better, but the fact is that the infrastructure is there.
Yeah, the infrastructure is here. And now with COVID, it's not that the COVID is so bad, but being once vaccinated, I don't feel so comfortable with the metro. So unless right. something is quite far or unless it's so hot, really nothing is far from me, but it's so hot. Milan is oppressively hot in the summer. And So then I would take metro, but otherwise I walk everywhere with my dog.
Yeah, and I think that's a luxury that not a lot of people in Europe realize, that actually, you know, you can walk everywhere, you can do everything by foot. And in a lot of other countries, without that infrastructure, without that urban planning, you're not really able to do so.
Yeah, you can't do that in America. I did that in Hollywood, because Hollywood, as it became, West Hollywood was always posh and Hollywood was gritty, but then they really gentrified Hollywood. And during the gentrified moment, in the glory days of the gentrification of Hollywood, it was great walking in Hollywood with my dog, running my errands. Then once the homeless people took over, then I didn't feel comfortable walking. Right. So that's what changed. I was able to walk in Hollywood, and then I wasn't able to walk in Hollywood.
So you spoke a little bit about your mother as well and her situation, right? We were talking in the beginning, we were talking a little bit about healthcare and stuff. So I actually did some research on my own, just to kind of check, like, you know, what it's actually like in the US. Of course, I think everybody's kind of heard of, like, the horror stories of, like, the US healthcare system. Basically, like, you have to pay for everything. Even your ambulance ride is like a couple $100. If you break a leg, you could easily cost like a couple $1,000. And that's not cheap, especially if you're just, you know, starting out, or, you know, you're not that rich, so to speak. But how was that like, you know, coming from the US? You know, you said you saved some money, but what was the quality like in Milan? And, you know, how does your mother actually feel in general now that she's, you know, being taken care of by the Italian kind of healthcare system?
Well, my mother doesn't know that she's in Italy, you know, because she has Alzheimer's.
Oh, because she has Alzheimer's, yeah.
Yeah, true. But my mother, it did really well. She always did well in the nursing homes, you know, because it's always like a really posh, you know, nursing home. In America, she found like a boyfriend right away. And in Italy, she also found a boyfriend right away. She's at 80, whatever, or at 80 at the time. She was one of the youngest people there, because Italian people live to be like 102. So the rest of the patients there are in their 90s or 100s. And they're white, so they look 40 years older than my mother. So my mother found herself a boyfriend who was who I think is younger than she is. Because he has, and he's mentally together, but he can't walk for whatever reason. So he's in a wheelchair. She found him pretty much right away. And so she's been happy. And the people there are quite nice at the nursing home, because in Italy, people, number one, they respect the elderly and family. And the other families go every day, sometimes twice a day, to visit if they live nearby, because that's, Italian people are just so into family. And so they're watching, even if I'm not there, how the other people, you know, how the staff is, you know, treating my mother. And Italian people are just generally nice. And in Italy, you don't become a doctor or a nurse generally to become rich. Because of the tax system in Italy, it's really difficult to become rich. It's only if you're an entrepreneur on, you know, the level of like Chiara Ferragni, the you know, the woman who was the blonde salad, who's now probably the biggest influencer after Kim Kardashian. So unless you're like that, you're not going to be rich. You can't, if you're making, you know, 100,000 euro a year is considered money in Italy. 100,000, which is like $100,000 in LA, is peanuts. I mean, you can't pay rent on like a decent place, you know? But anyway, nobody becomes a doctor in Italy or works at a nursing home to become rich. They're doing it generally because they like their job. The nurses' aides are a little bit different, you know, but they're not horrible people, and they're not, I don't think that they're unhappy. Like in America, you hear about like elderly abuse at nursing homes, you know, stuff like that all the time. Well, at public institutions. So my mother's in a private institution, and, you know, the place that she was in America was great. It was great. But at the level of care that she's getting now, it would probably be over $7,000 a month. And with the euro conversion, my mother pays 90 euro a day. The monthly bill turns out to be, at the exchange right now, a little over $3,000. In Hawaii, it would be like 10,000, if not 12,000 by now, at the place where she was on the wait list with a buy-in of 500,000. You know, so it's a lot of savings. I mean, it's a savings. I'm saving more than I would have ever made as a real estate agent in LA. I'm saving three times more than I would have made as a real estate agent in LA. So it makes more sense for me to move to a new country, adapt to a new culture, learn a new language, right? Because I've already moved from Japan to Hawaii. So it's not my first time, right? Learning a new language. So it's a lot better than working, than busting my ass in LA. And I would have never owned real estate if I lived in LA. Like, you know, with my inheritance or whatever, I still would have probably never owned real estate in LA or Hawaii. Maybe I can in Kansas or Oklahoma or Texas, but I'm not going to go to some podunkville place. I have standards, you know, I have standards and I can live my life at a much higher standard. The only thing that I miss about in Milan, other than the weather, because the weather in Milan sucks, is the food in LA.
Ooh.
Because you can eat anything from anywhere in the world in LA. And the grocery stores, I love Trader Joe's. And
they're prepared
and they're prepared meals. And, you know, just everything about Trader Joe's is incredible. And so I love the food in LA. So that's the only thing that I truly miss.
Yeah. Sometimes even the fast food, you know.
Oh, my God. I miss Panda Express. Like, I found out. Panda, I miss orange chicken from Panda Express. They're so Chinese people here, but there's no orange chicken. Orange chicken is like a Chinese American invention.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I've never really seen that anywhere else, but it's good.
Exactly.
Look at me, you know, it's really good.
Yeah.
Back to the healthcare thing. Like the price difference is quite big, but actually, is the service that's given, like the quality of service, is that also very different, or you would say it's on par with what you get in a private?
The service in America is even better when you're paying $12,000 a month. Because the thing with America is that five-star is really five-star. Five-star in Milan is like 3.5-4 stars in America. I'm not saying that the service is bad, that the person is bad, or just, I'm just saying that the level of luxury and service in Italy, in Milan, is not the same as the luxury of Los Angeles or Hawaii. So, yeah. So the service that she gets for the price, which is, you know, if my mother went to the hospital because she broke a hip, when she sneaked out of her bed at night, it cost like nothing. I mean, there were lab tests, there were whatever. I mean, when I say nothing, it was like less than 200 euro, 100. I mean, I don't, there really isn't a difference to me between 100 euro and 200 euro. You know, for something like that,
for sure.
From a long time ago, right? So,
right,
for an American, I mean, my God, I'm not going to remember. If she gets blood work done, it goes to the hospital, you know, just all the time. The nursing home doesn't do it. I mean, each bill is less than 50 euro. Like, I'm talking like this many. I mean, I've never gotten so many exams like that in America because it's so expensive. And in Italy, unless you have a problem or you're old, I can't just go to the doctor and say, I want to get all these tests. Because you do have to go, it's called a medica di base, the government appointed doctor, right? So like if you're old and you have a problem, you can go see the medica di base all the time, if you have the time, right? But I don't have any problems. But but when I did have a problem, let's say with allergies, and she made an appointment, she checked my allergies, or she prescribed allergy pills. She didn't weigh me. She didn't check my blood pressure, but she didn't put me on a scale. In America, they take your temperature, they check your blood pressure, they put you on a scale, they do this whole thing, and then they charge you, right? And then they charge you at least $150, right? But in Italy, unless the doctor suspects that or sees that you have a weight problem and suspects that you could have diabetes or something, they're not going to check a gazillion things. You know, if like, I've never gotten like a colonoscopy. Or anything like, although I'm going to be 48 because 47. Well, the last time I went to the medica di base, maybe I was 46. And 46 is not old in Italy because people live to be 102.
Right, right. Just like midlife crisis, basically.
Exactly. But they consider me young. So they just treat the problem and that's it. You know? So it's a completely different, situation. Yeah. I went to an allergy doctor, had like just a ton of tests, and it was like €180, maybe. Maybe it was less than 200. I mean, I got the whole skin test, right? And he gave me a prescription. I'm allergic to everything. And he started me on dust mite vaccines. The dust mite vaccines for 1 year, if you pay in advance, is €610. Which to me, €610 is nothing. It's nothing because it's the treatment for 1 year.
Yeah, okay.
If you were in America, I was in America with a kidney infection. I took really strong antibiotics without insurance. The really strong antibiotics, $300 to $400. We're talking about like three pills. We're talking about something that you take for 3 days. So €610, I take two pills a week. And it's a dust mite vaccine. Like a person who gets allergy treatments, you don't get allergy treatments unless you have money to begin with, you know, in terms of the allergy vaccinations. So, yeah, so that's why, you know, in America, it would have been so expensive. And they didn't have the pills. I don't know if they have the pills now. Now they probably have the pills. You know, like before in America, you had to go to the doctor once a week to get a shot. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the doctor and get a shot, it's going to be expensive because you're seeing a doctor.
Last question before we leave, actually.
Sure.
What were actually the biggest challenges that you've had to go through to kind of reach this level that you are now or where you are now?
The biggest challenge was moving my mother with dementia and a dog at the same time, like literally physically, you know, like booking, you know, the flight is no problem, but it's like because when somebody has dementia, you just don't know how they're going to react. And so I had to buy a giant kennel for my dog who's never been like kennel trained. Because Europe does not accept emotional support dogs. So from LA to Frankfurt, she was able to fly with me at my feet in the cabin. But from Frankfurt to Milan, she had to be in a kennel. So I bought a gigantic kennel, right? So I booked a driver to pick me up with, you know, one or two suitcases, a giant kennel and Jelly Bean. And to go to the nursing home to pick up my mother. I didn't know how she was going to be. I knew she would go in the car, right? Because she's been in cars before. And then we go to the airport. And then at the airport, I lost her for like 7 minutes. She wandered off, you know, because I have my dog and I'm looking forward. And just she wandered off and she had bought chocolates, you know. She had bought Hawaiian host. She bought macadamia nuts chocolate, chocolates from Hawaii, you know? So she bought that. And I found her. I was like, okay, no big deal. And then, she wouldn't take the medication. She's on, blood pressure medication and dementia medication. She wouldn't take any of the medication. She refused. And then while the kennel was being checked in Frankfurt, because the safety people have to check everything. My mother had a seizure. My mother does not have seizures. She had one seizure in her life. And, I was like, oh my God. And then a doctor was passing by and he said, what are the medications that she's on? And I said, she hasn't taken any of them, but she's on blood pressure and Alzheimer's and whatever. And he said, give her the blood pressure right away. So I forced the blood pressure one in her. And then we were in like the infirmary of the Frankfurt airport where my mother just kept wandering because, you know, they wander with dementia. And then we made it to Milan. So it was literally like a refugee experience, except we were refugees with money.
But that was the same flight. The flight, your mom and your dog were on the same flight. That was like,
from Frankfurt. My dog was in the cabin, not in the cabin. She was in cargo. And then, but no, she had the seizure at the airport. In the plane, we didn't really have any problems in the plane, except us bickering about me telling her, you need to take your medication. My mom saying no. Because with dementia, you can't force medication on people if they refuse to.
Okay.
So I would say that was the challenge. And after that, living with my mother with dementia before the nursing home was a huge challenge because she's up night. Yeah, banging on things like that. So that was huge. So the first, until she went in her, you know, nursing home, it was challenging because I'm not used to it. You know, I'm not used to living with a person with, you know, Alzheimer's dementia. Yeah.
Makes sense. Maybe, yeah, like, let's kind of wrap this up a bit.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you about some of your side hustles. So you
sure.
So you also mentioned like you have a brand of sunglasses, but at the same time, you know, in the US, you were also into real estate.
So the Asian Fit polarized Jackie O's are called Megumi O because they're Jackie O. So if you're a woman who likes Jackie O, you're going to get it. If you're not, you're going to think that my last name starts with an O, but it does not. So that is what brought me to Milan. And the whole time I was in LA, to act. That's what I wanted. I always wanted to be on TV growing up. And I had done quite a few, you know, commercials that have aired on network, national cable, internet, Spanish language TV and all that. So back before the internet, you could make a lot of money in one day doing, you know, a commercial. So that's what I would do. And then one day, I guess with the internet, you know, you just couldn't live off commercials anymore. So I got into real estate. I got into residential real estate and, I was really good at it. Well, before I moved here, I bought an apartment that I saw on the internet on idealista.it. I knew that I wanted that apartment based on the location and the floor plan because of my mother's Alzheimer's. I wanted my bedroom to be far away from my mother's. And the senior caregiver's bedroom was closer to my mother's. Right. So there was like a living room and a grand entrance. And the old Italian apartments, I don't like the look of it, but it functions for dementia. There were just doors everywhere. Everything is a separate room. Back in the day, they did not believe in an open floor plan. The kitchen is a room. The living room is a room. Everything is a room. So this apartment was perfect for my mother's dementia. And so I knew I wanted to buy the apartment. And so I came and in December on a 14-day trip with two holidays, and I still managed to buy the apartment. Everybody in Milan thought that I wouldn't be able to do it, but I didn't. Yeah. Okay. So the real estate, my background in real estate, and I also grew up in real estate, you know, definitely has helped. So even in, you know, Croatia, everything, I know the real estate of Portugal, of Malaga, of just, it's a hobby, but it's not just a hobby because it's not just something that I think about. It's something where I take action and I plan ahead. Okay. So when I was in Croatia, I was, you know, posting all these pictures of food, because I'm a huge foodie, and Foodie TV, which I had never heard of because I'm not in America, had hit me up on Instagram to start, streaming shows. So I said, okay. And so I have a show that streams on Foodie TV, and in Italy, I saw it. It's on, if you have an iPad or an iPhone, it's an application called Foodie TV, Foody TV. And so that's an application. It's free. And my show is called According to Megumi because everything is about, you know, it's not just about the food. I show you the town. I show you the locations. And, you know, I show you, it's this idea of, you know, seeing the world and manifesting things the way I manifested Milan and I manifested Opatia. So yeah. It's an optimistic travel show.
I think it's cool because it first of all, you get to showcase like the place, the food, but also you yourself, you're a character in it as well. Yeah. And, you know, and you are like, I've been speaking to you and you yourself like are quite a unique person with your perspective from the US.
Thank you.
Japan. Yeah. So I think I mean, I'm looking forward to watching more of it. I've seen a couple about Croatia, and I think it would be I'll be sharing the link on the description so for other people.
Fantastic! Thank you,
Megumi. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay.
I really love the chat. You really shared with me a lot of insight.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.